Let us pray.
Come, Lord King Jesus, speak to our hearts now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Today is the final Sunday of the liturgical year, Christ the King Sunday. It was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925 as a response to the rising tide of nationalisms and secularism that sought to exclude Christ from human society. Initially celebrated in October, then transferred to the last Sunday before Advent in 1970. On this day, we were focused on the truth behind Christ's supreme reign over the entire creation, including you and me, my brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters, the image of Christ, a mighty ruler in glory, can be far removed from our daily struggles in a world filled with constant tragedies and heartbreaks. Our present age has been marked by unrelenting challenges because of the pandemic, natural disasters, and ongoing wars. As one theologian described it, it is the age of overwhelmness. The age of overwhelmness. At the same time, we would like to paint Christ as a victorious ruler sitting on a glorious throne amid splendor. And we fill our churches with white and gold, singing hymns of crown Jesus with many crowns. While these images might be fitting for him, we may, however, fail to capture the true essence of Jesus' kingship. Karl Barth poignantly say, I quote, "The temptation to ascribe to God a supreme power that is characteristic of evil rather than of God. God Almighty, who lives and reigns with the Son, has power, but God's power is a power for order and not a chaotic imposition. God's omnipotence is God's power for love, power as saving, righteous power." Indeed, my brothers and sisters, we must not forget the radical nature of King Jesus, who is not far removed King on high, but the one who humbly bent himself into our broken humanity. In our gospel reading today, John 18, we found Jesus appearing as a prisoner before the local authority. Yet in this moment of apparent weakness, we see the full revelation of Christ's kingship, a kingship that will transform our understanding of power, truth, and the nature of God's reign. For that, I have divided into three parts. You can follow in the slides. First, the King Jesus, John 18, 33 to 35. Imagine yourself, my brothers and sisters, in a pilot's headquarters on that day. The smell of the marble, the sound of the sandals, the tension in the air. Here stands Jesus of Nazareth, that wandering teacher from Galilee, face to face with the representative of the local authority of the most powerful empire the world had ever known. At the center of cross-examination is the question that would reshape our humanity and our history. Are you the King of the Jews? Are you the King of the Jews? What we see here is not just an interrogation. It is a pivotal moment where two visions of power, two understanding of kingdoms, the two concepts of truth collide. And in that collision, we learn something groundbreaking, Jesus' kingdom, in contrast to the world's kingdom. Pontius Pilate, known as from various historical resources, including the Bible, is described as a morally weak and brutally cruel. Appointed governor of Judea by Tiberius Caesar in AD 26. His administration lasted until AD 37. His insensitive policy frequently inflamed the public into unrest and rebellion, which then he ruthlessly crushed. So Pilate represents the kingdom of the world in conflict with the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Pilate sees himself as the most authoritative figures in Jerusalem. He boasts himself and proclaims his position and authority to Jesus, as we see in John 19, verse 10. And he said to Jesus this, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" So despite the outward show of control, Pilate is consumed with fear. The Jewish religious leader wants Jesus crucified, pressuring Pilate to comply. Will he give in to them to maintain the tight grip on power? Or will he have enough troops to manage the potential uprising? How will Rome see his handling of the situation in Jerusalem? Pilate's power is only an illusion. Jesus responds the question with the question. Jesus tried to make the discussion is personal and appeal to Pilate as a man in need of God's grace. And he asked Pilate in verse 34, he said, "Is it your question or someone else's question? Is it your question or someone else's question?" Jesus' question shows that he is fully conscious of the political landscape. Despite being the king of the different kingdom, his authority is not something that Rome feels intimidated by. Jesus' point here is that the authority is not dependent upon political agency, but rather on revealing his identity. Rather on revealing his identity. Second, the kingdom of Jesus is not of this world. Not of this world. Jesus' response to Pilate regarding his kingship is profound and revolutionary. When he says, "My kingdom is not of this world," he is not simply referring to his kingdom as a purely spiritual concept floating in the clouds, utterly detached from the reality. But rather, Jesus is speaking a truth far more profound, that his kingdom operates a completely different paradigm from the power structures of the world. This would mean Jesus' kingship authority does not work from the same principle of the earthly kingdoms that are based on the power dynamic, political maneuvering, and a violent conquest. So theologian J.C. Ryle explained, Jesus tells Pilate that his mission is not to establish a kingdom that would rival the authority of the Roman government. He was never interested in building an earthly empire, relying on military power and sustained by taxation. And he writes, I quote, "The only dominion for Jesus he exercised was over man's heart. And the only weapons that his subject employed were spiritual weapons. A kingdom which required neither money nor servants for its support was one of which the Roman emperors need not be afraid. In the highest sense, it was a kingdom not of this world." Yes, indeed. The kingdom of Jesus is not of this world. Third, the kingdom of truth and witnessed. Jesus says, you say that I am a king. For this purpose, I was born. And for this purpose, I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, listen to my voice. In this regard, the true reign of Christ is the very embodiment of the ultimate truth. And his mission is well beyond earthly kingdom. He has not come to establish an earthly kingdom, but shed a light on the truth regarding God, humanity, and the road to salvation. In the Hebrew scriptures, the truth is more than abstract facts. Rather, it represents God's unwavering faithfulness to his covenant promises. When Jesus said he came to bear witness to the truth, he showed that God's unwavering commitment to fulfill his covenant with Israel and ultimately to the whole world. Throughout history, Israel was called to be a light to the nations, to show the world what God reigns look like. Now, as a representative king of the Jews, Jesus fulfilled this vocation through his life, death, and resurrection. He revealed to us what God's kingdom is all about. God's kingdom is the power comes in the form of sacrificial love, triumph through apparent defeat, and God's truth is personified in a living being. God's truth is revealed not in the philosophical abstractions, but in a person, Jesus, the King of the Jews. His kingship constituted by his unwavering commitment to this truth, even in the face of opposition and persecution. Finally, Jesus says, all that of the truth, all those aligning themselves with the truth that Jesus proclaims, will listen to his voice. Will listen to his voice. This is to say, all who respond in faith to his witness and teaching become his own, the citizens of the kingdom of God. Citizenship in Jesus' kingdom involves more than just personal belief and spiritual practices. But this truth has extensive implications on how we will relate to the world at large. This requires that we refrain from adopting world approaches to pursue greatness. We cannot simply follow the very power structure that Jesus came to expose and transform. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the word from the Lord to us today is, bear witness to the truth about King Jesus within our family, with our relatives, with our friends, in our church communities, as we listen to Jesus' voice. So what does it mean to live as people who belong to that truth in our world today? For that, we can draw two implications from our readings. Firstly, we must be the truth teller. We must be the truth teller. Truth as a concept seems to be under intense pressure in these days. In a world of alternate facts and manipulated narratives, we are called to be a people who tell the truth. Not just a single facts, but on the reality of the kingdom of God. If Christ's kingship is fundamentally defined by truth, then the pursuit of the truth has to be taken with the utmost seriousness. In Jesus, we learn that the truth is a stimulus for the faithful living. This reminds me of a story shared by a minister when he was on a plane chatting with a woman seated next to him. As soon as she discovered that he was a minister, she began to pour out all her doubts and objections to Christianity. First, she spoke about how illogical the original sin was to her and how she could not accept it. He calmly replied, "I see, but is it true? She then went on talking about judgment and hell, saying it was uncivilized and amoral. Again, he gently asked, "I see how you feel, but is it true?" She continued with the next topic and then with the next one, each with the same response, "Is it true?" Eventually, she expressed her strong dislike for everything found in the Bible, stating how it was old-fashioned and utterly unappealing to our modern mindset. As he prepared to speak one last time, she interrupted him and saying, "Oh, I know. You are going to ask if it is true, right?" Indeed, my brothers and sisters, this is what we must say. It is a truth that Christians have to offer. The truth that we must stand firm in our beliefs as we follow the footsteps of our King Jesus, who conquered through the cross. We should not be shocked by the persecution or adversities that before us. Secondly, we must be the truth bearers. The truth bearers. This means that we are fully express the truth in every aspect of our lives, even though we may not be able to convince others about the truth. The Most Reverend Dr. Titus Chun said passionately during the installation service of the Archbishop of the province of Saudi Asia, I quote, "For a person to believe in the truth, it is to believe that the truth, being divine, cannot be affected by what we can do or fail to do. In other words, God does not fail simply because I fail to convince others about the truth of God. Thus, any attempt to win argument by violence or force is in fact a sign of religious insecurity and weakness. It is a sign of lack of faith in the subject of truth." End quote. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, as the truth bearers, we are not to win the arguments, but to embrace a different narrative, one which rejects power through violence, instead victory through the selfless love. This is not a kingdom imposed by force, but one that grows like a mustard seed, transforming the world through truth and love. This is the truth to which all you and me belongs. Just as Jesus, King Jesus, exemplifies authority through service and self-giving love, so must we. It comes to the end of my homily. God has graciously given us the most precious gift of freedom, which makes it possible for us to overcome the allure and the fear of power within ourselves. In Jesus, alive with Spirit, we become the vessel of His power in His kingdom. But daily, we are faced with the decision to truly submit to Christ as our King, or to pay a mere lip service while denying His rightful claims over our lives. We are constantly bombarded with doubts, manipulation, and distortion of value for our own personal gains. Just as King Pilate exploited King Jesus for his ends, we too may be tempted to misuse our faith for our selfish reasons. However, Jesus remains steadfast and true, willingly going to cross, being buried, rising again, and ascending to sit at the right hand of the Father. This same Jesus demands our unwavering allegiance, our truth, and our all. As we prepare ourselves to enter the new liturgical year next week for another Advent season, let us remember the one who stood before Pilate King, still stand before us, still speaks the truth, and still call us to you, all who belong to that truth. It is in that truth we find not bondage, but perfect freedom. With this perfect freedom amid the kings of the world who do not want an end to the war in Myanmar, Gaza, and Ukraine because of their strategic geopolitical gains, I will proclaim the word of St. Paul from Colossians 1:15-16. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. King Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Let us pray. Jesus, King of all past empires, Lord of all present rulers, Master of all that is to come, Lord of kingdoms, great and tiny, teach us to hold tightly on your truth, remembering that all aspects of our life and loves, our work and worship, our times and treasures are under your rule, and all that in all things you are our Savior and our King. Amen.